Welcome back. Something else to know about that last segment, or those last two segments, and those things that you heard. You wouldn't believe the stuff that we put on the cutting room floor. I mean, some of that was questionable to be sure. And then the stuff that didn't make it on air was not questionable at all. There was just no way in hell we could do it. It's a wild, wild time. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So I talk a lot about how long I've done this. I talk a lot about the fact that we're coming up on Smack Off 27. Man, if you only knew, the old school may recall, but if you only knew, and even to a certain extent, I don't remember, some of the stuff that went down back in the day, mid-90s. A wild, wild time. All right, coming up next segment, I've got the CEO of the Philadelphia 76ers and New Jersey Devils, Scott O'Neill, top of hour number three, Rams nose tackle, Sebastian Joseph Day. The week that was, the ATP, and now the Big Head. The birthday edition of Big Head Bets. An enormous betting weekend ahead, which means it's time for another installment of the Big Head himself. James Kelly, what's up, man? Happy birthday, dude.
Thanks, Jim. I'll try and not, kill Tom Hanks like Rit did in his birthday segment. So, thank you.
Well done. Dude, really quickly, what do you make of some of those phone calls from back in the day?
Oh, dude. I was a listener then, and oh my gosh, has time changed over the years?
Everything has. All right, dude. So here's something else that needs to change immediately. My luck. I got my ass kicked this week. I don't know about you. It did not go well for me, especially last night. So I'm looking for the big bounce back, and I'm looking to get right. So I hope you can help me get there. Let's get into this. Let me start something right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the bets, Ed, I know you've taken some heat for hitting the favorites. Last I checked, the idea was to make money, not lose money. The idea is to win the bet and not let everybody know how smart you think you are, because nobody looks smart when they lose. What do you make of all this chalk hate that you're receiving?
Dude, it's absolutely mind-numbing, Jim. I mean, it defies logic. And to be clear for the listeners out there, it's 90% of the time me minusing the points. Not taking a money line play, like of minus 1,000 to beat a scrub. It's like me taking the Chiefs minus 17 to beat the Jets. I don't get it. I mean, I could go 3-0 sometimes, and I honestly think they'd be happier if I went 0-3 and took the underdog in the points. I don't think they understand the game.
Okay, hopefully they do now, because some of you did need to hear that. All right, let's start with the Clippers head. They looked like they were DOA, dead on arrival when they lost the first two games of that series, but then they roared back with a vengeance. They tied that series up at two games apiece, only to get punched in the face in game five. In other words, same as they ever were, and now they're facing yet another elimination game tonight. They're minus 2.5 against the Mavs. How are you playing this one?
Yeah, it's like we're in the same exact spot we were last Friday. Mavs in control and the Clippers' backs against the wall. And like last Friday, Jim, I'm going Clippers again here minus the points. Look, Kawhi had his first bad playoff game of the series in Game 5. Before that, you could argue he was playing the best of anyone in the entire playoffs. I like him bouncing back. And also, a few trends I like for the Clippers here. As a home team against the spread, the Mavs are 15-23 with a 39% cover rate. Below, not good. Also, one day off, the Mavs only hit 45% of their games and haven't covered their past four on one day's rest. As long as Ty Lue keeps Zubac's ass planted on the bench, I love the Clippers here, minus 2.5.
Take that for data. Clips, minus 2.5. That's the first pick. Then we've got that big-time matchup in the East, Nets and Bucks. I absolutely love that matchup. The Nets big three have been able to gel more quickly than anybody expected. Head, they're good. Ask me, they may even be NBA Finals good, but they have to get through the Bucks first. And while I am sold on the big three, I'm still not sold on their defense overall, especially this time of year. So, while they're dangerous, I'm not sure I fully trust them yet. They're minus 3.5 at home in game one. Who do you like there?
I think these are the two best teams left in the NBA right now, Jim. Maybe Utah might be able to get in there, but this is the kind of like an NBA Finals matchup to me right now. And in game one, I'll take the Nets minus the points here. I just like a lot of the stuff that they've been doing lately. Problem the Bucks have on the road as an underdog, they're 0-2 right now.
Dude,
they haven't
breathe.
Been able to cover anything.
Just breathe, man.
0-2 on the road as an underdog. Away team, they're as bad as well. So I'm fascinated by the entire series here, and I think
I'm fascinated by how much trouble you're having in front of you, man. Be where your feet are, dude.
That's right.
My feet are where the Bucks are at the three-point line. They can't cover the three-point line against the Nets. That's where they struggle, Jim. The Nets shoot the three ball about better than anybody else, and up to this point, nobody is worse than Milwaukee there. But the rebounding advantage for Milwaukee, they're big, their size is massive, and that's where the Nets are going to struggle here. Maybe DeAndre Jordan will come off the bench and actually get some play here, but I don't know if that's a fact because he hasn't played in the first two games. But Giannis has not been able to shoot the three ball. He shot 6% in the first round, and I'm taking the Nets on Saturday for the first game here.
Listen, dude, just you put everything else on DND until you're done with me, all right? I'm not telling you what you should do outside of this show, but whoever's blowing you up, tell them to sit the hell down for a minute. All right, now, plenty of clones like their NHL action. You and I have talked about this. I'm still surprised by it, but there are a lot of people who are getting down on the frozen pond. We knew Vegas and Colorado were on a collision course. We all knew that. What I did not expect to see was the Golden Knights getting blown out in game one, but that'll happen. Problem is, they didn't bounce back in game two, and now they've got to win four of the next five, starting with a must-win game three. How are you playing this one?
Yeah, Colorado is a slight favorite here, and I think they will win the series. I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup, but man, I got to go Vegas here on the money line. You got the two best regular season teams playing against each other in the second round, very similar to the Bucks and the Nets. Colorado has won 14 of their past 15 games, Jim. Nathan MacKinnon and his top line is the best in the NHL, but Marc-Andre Fleury seems to do well against the Avs. I'll take the Golden Knights at home. They struggled against Minnesota in the first round at home, but I think they're going to get right here. I'm going to go Minnesota minus 105 here. I'm sorry, Vegas minus 105 here.
Wow, dude. You pull yourself together. Now I'm with you on that one. Vegas on the money line. All right, now listen. I don't expect you to go there. I think I already know the answer. But you don't actually see anything in baseball that you would consider hitting this weekend, do you?
Well, you know, Jim, I knocked it out of the park in football, 64%, I believe, in the regular season there. I did even better in NBA regular season. And baseball, you know I'm going to go there, and I'm actually going to go to Cleveland. They're on the road against Baltimore today. Baltimore is hitting on 34% of their home covers, which is not good. They're also even worse when they have a day off. They're 2-7 against the run line with time off. Second worst in the NHL are the entire Major League Baseball behind Houston. Cleveland also hits lefties very good. Baltimore has a lefty going today. Let's go Cleveland and their bullpen to get the money line win at minus 113 here.
All right, so Indians on the money line. Hold it together, Head. You're almost there. I mean, you are dropping oil and engine parts to get to the finish line, but you're almost there. The last leg of the Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes this weekend. Mile and a half, grueling monster race. Are you going chalk, or do you see value somewhere else?
I'm not going chalk. The test of champions on the mile and a half course here. I'm not going to go the chalk. The favorite is great, but I'm going to go somewhere you're familiar with here, Jim, a candy ride.
Yeah,
hole.
Baby. Yeah.
Yes.
We love candy it, ride. Right? You and I love candy ride.
Love it.
Candy
him.
Ride was Cher Believe's dad.
Yes. Yes, so I'm going to go Rock Your World there at plus 425 right now. You can get him. He was great. He was undefeated through the Santa Anita Derby. He's a front runner. I'm going to go him and Known Agenda, two horses who I loved before they were in the Kentucky Derby. They both were bumped and squeezed in the Derby. I like them both here as the fourth and fifth choice. So Rock Your World at plus 425 and Known Agenda at plus 600. The key here, Jim, is they have the bloodlines. They have the endurance. And that's what this race is all about. So let's go with those two horses on a shot.
Candy Ride Head was a bad mother bleeper. Man, what an amazing horse. Such a great horse, but not as good as his gilded son, Shared Belief.
No,
all right, so run it back for me, Head. Before I turn you loose, happy birthday, Head. Who do you have this weekend? How should they get down? Run it back one more.
Baseball, we're going to go Cleveland minus 113. And for the Belmont Stakes, we got Rock Your World, plus 425, and Known Agenda at plus 600.
I like those picks. Big Head, James Kelly. I would say nice job, but it really wasn't this week. But I'll see you next week, Ed. Happy birthday.
Distractions. My bad. Thanks.
See you, dude. See, that's the thing. This guy, there's a lot of really private things about the big head that even I don't know about. I just know dude is into a lot of different side hustles, and I could hear it during that segment. It doesn't take a genius to know this. One of those side hustles started to get in the way of this hustle. That's why he was distracted.
That's private.
That's private. That's private. He's got Clips, -2.5. Nets, -3.5. Vegas.
Yeah, it happens.
On the morning line. He's got the Indians. And he's got the Belmont with two picks. 1-800-636-8686. You're all good, Head. You're all good. No problem at all. Let me get some reaction really quickly. Reaction to what we've done earlier with the Smack Off Reset. Justin tweets, been listening since the Mighty 690. I can remember sneaking out of class to listen every Friday that Terrence called. And frankly, laughing so hard, I could not go back to class. He's got a good point. I forgot about that, right? Terrence would call on Fridays. That was a Friday thing. Pimp, from somebody who has been listening to this show since the fall of his freshman year in college, which was the fall of 1996, these last two segments are simply unbelievable. What a trip down memory lane. I am literally laughing out loud in my office as my phone blows up with text messages from my friends asking me if I'm listening to this. Awesome, Rome. The jungle of the late 90s and early 2000s was a whole different animal. And if you were listening back then, you know what I'm talking about.
Laugh.
Great job.
Loud.
Onward and upward. Jim, I've been a listener since 1997 and discovered it rolling through Crapchester. Bobo in Brooklyn and the rest of those callers were something that I've been longing for so long. Congrats on keeping the show so amazing over the years. Tim Patterson, thanks Tim very much. Jaime, what differentiates the old callers was they'd actually mix in a sports take here and there. Today's callers don't even mention any of the reasons that your show exists. Yes and no. Yes and no. Just a different time, man. A different breed. Different world. You could never, ever, ever say and do the things on the show now that we did back then. And that's fine. The world has changed. And it's incumbent upon me to create a product that is still compelling and dangerous. But dude, the callers back in the day were something else. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to react, you can do so. If you want to try and play your way in. Hey, listen, we're still doing this thing. And I'm still looking to do this thing as well as I possibly can, which means we need new meat. We do need new callers. But that's just the tip of the hat to the old school because they were amazing and they helped build the jungle into what it is. And they got a lot of love on the poll. Dear Jim, Terrence from Sierra Madre is the greatest caller to your show ever. Maybe. Maybe. But ask yourself this. When was the last time he called this show? Honestly, I thought he was dead. I really thought that he was no longer with us until 2017 when he came in the studio. And I said, dude, where in the world, Terrence, have you been? And he said to me that when the affiliation changed in LA, he just kind of couldn't find the show. Jeremy in Tampa tweets, been in the jungle for a while now, but not familiar with Doc Mike. Bring that cat back. LMFAO. Nobody could touch him back in the day. Doc Mike was the standard back in the day. All right, when we come back, an interview with Scott O'Neill. He's the CEO of the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils. That's next. Round two is where we separate the pretenders from the contenders. Get some skin in the game with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. They're offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to 10 grand in total prizes every single day. DraftKings free-to-play pools are so easy to enter. You simply download the DraftKings app, you go to pools, you choose from a wide variety of free contests, and then you have a chance to win big-time prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around who you think or what you think is going to happen during the day's basketball games. Things that you think about anyway. Then you track your results throughout the night. It's a blast to do so. Questions like, who's going to hit the most threes? Which team is going to score first? So once again, download the top-rated DraftKings app. Use my promo code ROME when you sign up, and you'll get a free shot. Hit up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Codename ROME. Limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California. Your telephone number again, toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. Coming up at the top of hour number three, a nose tackle for the LA Rams, Sebastian Joseph Day. But right now we are joined by the CEO of the Philadelphia 76ers. He is the CEO of the New Jersey Devils. He is CEO of Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment. He's also the author of a new book, Be Where Your Feet Are. That book is out right now. Scott O'Neill is my guest. Scott, great to have you on. How are you?
Jim, I'm happy. I'm healthy. We're already a round past where we finished last year. Sixers are rolling. Life is good. How about you?
My man, that's a great answer. I love that. I'm feeling great. I feel really good, and it's good to have you on. Listen, I want to talk to you about the book in a moment, but the Sixers did open up their second round series, or will, against the Hawks tomorrow. So what do you make of the first round, Scott, and what's the overall playoff experience been like for you as a fan and as a CEO?
Well, you know, I've been with this team since for eight seasons, so I've been through the hell of the process era, winning 28, 17, 10, 18, 28, and then all of a sudden four playoff appearances. So it's nice to be sit atop the East. It's definitely more fun to be a favorite. It's definitely more enjoyable to have home court advantage, and having fans in the building has sent chills up my spine.
Scott O'Neill is my guest. He's got a brand new book out called Be Where Your Feet Are. Scott, that was an amazing thing you just said. The hell of the process era. I bring that up because Brett Brown and I used to talk about the process and that time. And the fact that you all knew that it was a process, but that doesn't mean that it didn't take an emotional toll on everybody involved, because as competitors, nobody wants to lose. What was it like when you knew you had a process and you had a plan, but you're in a really tough city that's demanding, that wants to win, and it's just not happening right then?
Well, it's just not the city. I mean, it's us. I mean, we're all competitive. I've been accused of having a competitive problem before, and it took its toll. I mean, the good news is we had a vision for the future that was bigger and better than we've been. We hadn't won 50 games since 2002, so we knew we had to change the way we were. We walked into that team, remember, having two first-round picks over the next 5 years, a cap team with not very talent. So we were trapped where we were, and knew we had to change the trajectory, but it was hard, man. There was pressure coming from like a 22-year-old school aide at my daughter's school, from the media, from the fans, and even from my own household. So we were under a lot of pressure. I thought Brett was an extraordinary ambassador for this team and had that team playing hard every night. And you know what? Similar to my time when I was at the Knicks and we had Linsanity, that movement, when I got to the Sixers and we had this movement called Trust the Process, it actually gave the fans something to rally around. We weren't ambivalent anymore. You didn't like, You didn't meh this team. You might have hated it, but you were passionate. Or you loved it and you were passionate. And that's the start of something special. But the team always showed up under Brett Brown. Always. We played hard and we got after it. As Brett told me one day over a long dinner, he said, I'd rather fight to the death with spoons than lay down with knives.
It's an awesome line. Scott O'Neill joining us. That is a great line. That is a great line. Now, when we talk about the process, of course, you think about Joel Embiid. The team did announce this week that he's got a small tear of the lateral meniscus in his right knee. So, Scott, what was your reaction when you learned that news? And as an organization, how are you going about dealing with that particular injury?
Sure. Well, first, you know, I went to business school, not medical school. So we have incredible doctors around us. Joel is no longer like the young man. He's a man. And as I found, I've been in this league for 25 years. And the one thing I know for sure is that the older these guys get, the more veterans they become, the more they understand their own body. He's anxious to get on the court. He's talked to great medical experts. My first reaction was, oh, no. And my second reaction was, this guy's a warrior. He's the MVP of this league. He does things every single night that I've never seen before, and I cannot wait to get him back on the court.
Scott O'Neill is my guest. His new book is called Be Where Your Feet Are. That book is out right now. So, Scott, shifting away from the team for a minute to your story, your dad coached basketball. You grew up loving the game. I had Jay Wright on this show a few days ago. I know your paths crossed at Villanova. What was that like?
He cut me from that team.
He cut you?
Yes.
Tell me.
Called me in his office. He was an assistant for Raleigh Massimino and said, son, this is not happening for you.
And you said what in response?
Well, you know, we just had this drill. Raleigh Massimino was the head coach, and he was a bit of a screamer and yeller and a brilliant coach. And they kept two of us throughout the fall to practice with the team. We're kind of practice dummies. And whenever something would go wrong, he would have this drill where you stand on the block and the players would run full steam at you and you had to take a charge. And I had Doug West. I don't know if you remember Doug West, but a heck of a player, big body. He went through me first, and I felt like I had died. And then Gary Massey, who you might not remember, was just a leaper, like smaller, but a leaper. And he literally jumped over me and kicked me in the face. And I'm like, you know what? I need to get back to studying. That's where I need to focus my energy. Because there's only one way I'm getting to this league, and that's as an executive.
That's great. Scott O'Neill joining us. So you did play the game, though, and you coached your daughters playing the game. And you've talked about how much you've gotten from the sport. Lay this out for me. What has the sport of basketball done for you and given to you?
The sport of basketball, first off, has just taught me life about life and values. It's about how to lead, how to follow, how to win, how to lose, how to compete, how to sweat. I love this game. It's given me most of my friends in life that come through the game of basketball. It's given me a connection with my father. Unfortunately, God rest his soul, he passed away. It's the connection I have with my brothers, even when we were slugging out in the backyard.
Scott O'Neill is joining us. Now, Scott, in your late 20s, you and a friend started Hoops TV. For those who do not know, what was that, and then what did you learn from that experience?
Oh, man, I love that business. So, unfortunately, Hoops TV was in the dot-com kind of boom-bust era. We went out and raised $15 million from ESPN and Foot Action and Safeguard Scientific. I partnered with Seth Berger, one of my dear friends who founded And One, the sneaker company at the time, and we set out to merge basketball, hip-hop, fashion and music, and we blew up, became the number two site, basketball site in the world behind NBA.com, and then we fell apart, a courtesy of yours truly's ineffective management. And what I learned when I became what I like to say is out of work, out of luck, and out of money, as I was getting foreclosure notices on my house and my wife was at home with our baby, I had to get myself into gear. And so I had to literally lean on what I'm asking people to do now coming out of COVID. Let's be aware and take care of each other. Pick up the phone. Text your mother. Tell her you love her and what you appreciate about her. Go reach out to an old coach, a mentor, a friend, somebody that helped you in your life. Be aware on Zoom calls when somebody has their video off for 2 weeks in a row or their mailbox is full or they don't respond to you on text. Get to them. Like, it is upon us right now. Mental health, anxiety, all that stuff I was struggling with coming out of Hoops TV is a lesson for us all now that we can help each other. We need to be more connected, and we need to be more proactive.
Scott O'Neill is joining us, which brings me then back to the title of the book, Be Where Your Feet Are. It's a critical phrase. It's probably not the first time our listeners have heard that phrase. How did you first come across it, and why was it something that resonated with you the way it has?
You know, we have a certain language. We have language that we use at home, and we have a language we use at work. Three of the things in the book, WMI, which is what's most important, API, which is assume positive intent, and trust the process. It's all stuff we actually use. Be where the feet are, same thing. And where it means in my house, be where your feet are, is phone down, head up. And that's applicable at home when we walk in after a tough day at work. We've got to tuck our phone in the drawer. Have you ever been at dinner? You sit around, and you look around the table at the end of dinner, and everybody's on their phone, and you think, like, I don't have enough time with my family. I don't have enough time with my friends. I don't get enough quality time, yet we're sitting around a dinner table and we're all on our phones. Like, it has to change. Like, we have to get better at this. So it's simply that.
Hey, listen,
phone down, head up.
When you say, have you ever been, I mean, that might be a rhetorical question, or everybody listening lives that life. That absolutely is what goes down in my house. Like, so how old are your kids?
I've got a 21, 17, and 14-year-old daughters, all daughters. So you can imagine the energy in my house. It's a lot.
Phone down, head up. phone down, head up. So how do you go about having the discipline and the focus to be present and to be where your feet are? What does that process look like?
I will tell you, when I was during our 10-win season, I came home one night and I was all grouchy and grumpy. Like I said, losing is very difficult for me. I came in and my wife looks me dead in the eye and she's like, "Are you serious?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She's like, "This act." I said, "What act?" She's like, "Are times 70 nights you're going to come home like this? Like, this doesn't work for me. And it's not going to work for this family." And so I got to tell you, it was like a good wake-up call. We need people in our lives that will tell us the truth. And she loves me enough. She's a tough lady, Lisa. And she's tough enough and loves me enough to tell me the truth. And we got to help each other. That's the first thing. I called a friend of mine after that night, and he said, I have a worry tree. Don't you have a worry tree? He's like, I every time I come home, I put my hand on a tree, and all my worries fly up to it. I said, "You know, I don't have that tree, but I sure as heck want one." And so I don't have a tree, but I use the ride home. And I think we all have to find buffers for ourselves and markers for ourselves. And for me, it's that ride home. I howl at the moon. And when I get home, I'm a dad and I'm a husband. And that's just a discipline that I've committed to. And am I perfect at it? Is that what you're asking? No. Let me tell you. 2 nights ago, my wife and I were out to dinner. She looks me dead in the eye. And we're in the heat of a playoff race. So, of course, I'm interested in scores. So I look down at my phone for probably 8 seconds, and she says, "I'll wait." That's the dagger.
Wow.
"I'll wait." Looks me right in the eye. I said, no. She's like, no. That's clearly more important in our conversation. "I'll wait." And it's like, look, we need to face the music, and we need discipline, and we need to get better, and we need to hold each other accountable. But in the house, at the dinner table, put the phones down. At night, put the phones down. If you're watching a show together as a family or playing a game together as a family, leave the phones in another room. When we have the discipline to do that, we will be more connected, have richer conversations, and have better lives.
We will be more mindful. We will be more present. And Scott, I love that story that she said to you, "Hey, listen, by the way, how many games are you going to lose this year?" And you said, "I don't know, 50, 60, 70. And she said, "And you're going to come home every single night like that after one of those?" That, but this, I would tell you the same sort of thing goes on in my house, but I'm the one saying it. So, yeah, no, I did enjoy that because I respect her, and that's cool. So, last thing, what is a leadership constitution, and how would you summarize your leadership constitution?
Sure. A leadership constitution is simply you answer these first two questions. I declare that I am ... and you can count on me to be ... For me, I'm a leader of leaders. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I will do anything, anytime for you as a friend and give the shirt off my back for a perfect stranger. You can count on me to be loyal, intense, push you, hug you, love you, even when you don't want to be pushed, don't feel like being loved, and certainly don't want to be hugged.
Thing is, Scott, I mean, this is so cliche, but on the topic of leadership really quickly, are great leaders made or are they born?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm the son of two leadership development consultants. So I guess you might are, and three of my three brothers are also running companies, and my sister's about to run one. So I would say we have a lot of good DNA. On the other hand, I've been a captain of every team I've ever played on growing up as a kid. So I think there's some of that's inert, but I think a lot of it can be taught and trained. And I'm generally of the opinion that the best leaders – there is no cookie-cutter approach to leadership. The best leaders understand their authentic self. And if you're a rah-rah guy, be a rah-rah guy. If you're not, don't. You cannot pretend to be who you are not. People won't follow you. These Gen Zs today, and I love this next generation, they're smart. They're connected. They want to believe in something better than the mundane jobs they have, but they want to see authenticity. They want to see personal connection. They want complete transparency, and that's the new contract we have with this next generation. And they sniff out phony in 2 seconds. So all those aspiring leaders out there or emerging leaders or those of you who want to run a company or about to run a company, just make sure you know who you are. Spend time figuring that part out and reinforce it. And a leadership constitution is a great tool to get you there.
I like that. Actually, you ripped my line. I was going to say Gen Z. Man, they'll sniff that out, and they do. He is the CEO of the Philadelphia 76ers. He is the CEO of the New Jersey Devils. He is the CEO of Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment, and he is the author of a brand new book, Be Where Your Feet Are. That book is out right now. Scott, that was great. Really appreciate you and the conversation. Thank you so much for that.
Anything, anytime. I'm a huge fan of your work. Keep doing your thing.
You too, Scott. You too, man. I really appreciate you. You're amazing. I've already got tonight's dinner conversation. Scott O'Neill, man, good energy, good message. Really good message. And his book, again, Be Where Your Feet Are, is out right now. 1-800-636-8686. Scott, you know how... I love what he said when I said, that is such a great story. I love that story about your wife saying, yeah, well, it's not going to work for me. He said, well, I'm glad you liked it, Rome. I didn't like it very much. I'll tell you something. My wife is listening right now. She's already responding to phone down, head up. Jano, I'm glad you heard that. What have I been trying to tell you all? All right, we will take a timeout. That was a great conversation. Scott O'Neill, CEO of the 76ers and the Devils, and he is an author. Once again, that book is called Be Where Your Feet Are, and that book is out right now.
Trust the process.
Trust the process. Still ahead, Sebastian Joseph Day. Where do the Lakers go from here? Phone lines are open.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Clones, listen up. Not all beef jerky is one and the same. Old Trapper's original, old-fashioned teriyaki. Hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? My thanks to Scott O'Neill. He was great. Love that energy. Great message as well. Phone down, head up. There's not a single person listening right now that would not benefit from that. Myself included. My family included. Can you really refute that? Phone down, head up. Phone down, head up. I love that. All right, so our phone lines are open. We had a guest at the top of the hour, but there was a scheduling change. So I'm just going to open this thing wide up. Wide open. 1-800-636-8686. Do you want to RSVP for the Smack Off? Do it now. Do you want to take a shot at getting a golden ticket? Do it now. In fact, that's exactly what this guy's doing. Mark in Boston. I'm hoping this is an RSVP. Mark, what's going on, brother?
Hi. Jim, first of all, I am in for June 25th, man.
Good.
I can't wait. I got to say, dude, I loved my player profile. You absolutely eviscerated me, man. I half expected you to give yourself a golden ticket after that takedown. At least give yourself a tongue. All fair criticism and noted, the Romo thing was bad and poorly executed. But while I'm talking about failed cameo attempts, Jim, check your DMs. I hit you with a request. Let me know if you can record something for this guy I'm about to talk about. You know, there's been a lot of talk lately about a savvy old veteran securing his first major at his age. Now, you probably think I'm talking about Phil Mickelson, but it's actually Jeff in Richmond getting through his first major heart surgery in his early 50s. Anyone who's watched Jeff grow knew this was coming. A truly heart-stopping performance by Jeff. The kidney stones on this guy, Jim, after getting 47 dropped on him in his house, that would be like Jeff autographing his hospital smock after his last take. Nah, it's cool, man. Just tie up the back. I can see your Basically what I'm saying, Jeff, maybe skip the next four smack-offs again. That'll be your second quadruple bypass. Hey, Jimmy, getting ready for the smack-off used to feel like a marathon. You've put the pressure on and made it a sprint this year. But it got me thinking watching the NBA last night. All these low-carb beer commercials peddling garbage like, yeah, I'm going to go run a marathon and then pound a six or a Michelob Ultra afterwards. If I wanted to drink beer-flavored water, I would just pick up a sixer of Swing Lube. What up, Hawk? And let's be honest, if you're pounding a sixer of Mickey Ultras as part of your workout regimen, you're probably the same bag that rolls up to Wendy's or is a triple stack and a large fry and goes, you know what? Let me get the Diet Coke today. I'm trying to watch my calories. What up, Rit? How's that chocolate treating you, you pillar of peak? So I'm not a playoff P. See you in 3 weeks, dude. Bye.
That boy. Rack him. Mark in Boston. See you in 3 weeks. That's how you do that. And when I say that's how you do that, what I mean is you RSVP. You RSVP strongly. You remind everybody who you are and what you're about. And then it makes it that much more likely that you do get on day of. Remember, being in the field does not guarantee that you get on. It only guarantees that you're in the field. Mark in Boston, appreciate you, brother. Nice job. 1-800-636-8686. I use that phrase a lot. I appreciate you, and I do. Especially those who make it better. He makes it better. Back to the phones. Let's go to Medford. Greg in Medford. Good to have you, Greg. How are you?
Jimmy Von Smack, my brother, it has been way too long, too many years since I grabbed a vine and took a swing.
It's good to have you back, bro. I knew at some point you would make a triumphant return. So what's on your mind? What do you got?
Well, you made the trip down memory lane, and I just can't help but go there because, unlike most of the people listening, I was there helping you put the foundation in. I monkeyed you not once, but twice here in Medneck to put on The Jungle on two different radio stations, and I do believe there were less than 40 affiliates total when I took that leap of faith. And now, coming back into The Jungle, the first thing I notice is there's no disclaimer anymore. It used to be well known that you would say, hey, you got to give it 2 weeks. It's like drinking beer the first time. You may not like it the first time you swill it, but give it 2 weeks and you'll love it. Well, I loved it right on the first try, and of course, I had to spread it to the rest of the world, which I was grateful for. And I was speaking back in the day, there was a little thing called a fax, and we used to have legendary faxers, of which Darth Gable was the most notable. I do remember a couple very poor phone calls from Dear Darth, but his faxes were straight up epic. And as soon as I knew you were reading a fax from Darth Gable, I immediately quit doing what I was doing to listen, because those things were pure gold. How we couldn't translate it to a phone call, I'll never know, but he made it work via a fax. And that's how far back I go. I go back to the first smack-off. I remember, ooh, this could be dangerous. We don't know what's going to happen. Well, the legends were all built. The DeTola brothers, you definitely didn't want any part of Doc Mike, but in those early years, there was nobody but nobody like Sean the Caplanation, who I do believe spun it all into his own little successful talk show career at some point. But Shawnee, he set the gold standard when it came to the smack-off. He brought straight fire every single time. And Jim, speaking of straight fire and epic, Portland tour stop. You arriving in the Blackhawk, the 21-gun salute.
Oh, my God, Greg. Greg, shark! Shark! Get out of the water! Get to the shore! There's a shark!
As we sound the
Greg!
To stop the
Greg!
Final.
Get to the shore! Shark! Shark! Dude, he's going to eat you alive! Shark! Swim! Faster! That's what I do to people that I don't want to run. I just bring up the Jaws music and remind them there's a shark in the water and they got to get their asses to shore. Like, how do I break that guy off? How do I run that guy? If I don't run that guy, he takes the entire third hour with that sing-song delivery. But he did work for me back in the day. And I don't mean work for me like a paid employee. He worked on behalf of The Jungle. He did crack the monkey back in the day. But again, though, Greg, if you go that far back and you're going to name check people, it's not Darth Gable. It's Dark Gable. And the whole point about when you said, how can that guy be so good at sending a fax but so bad on the phones? Again, he's gone on to have a really, really successful career as a broadcaster. But I do love the old school coming up in here. Jamie in Green Bay. I'm going to need 2 weeks for Greg in Medford. Run this nerd. It's so funny. Now, that was a disclaimer that I did back in the day because the show was so different and I was so different. And many of you hated my guts when you first heard me. Many of you still hate my guts. Good. That means you still care. I'm still winning. However, a lot of you that did hate my guts ultimately fell in love with the program. And I used to get that call all the time. Yo, dude. Dude, man, I hated you so much. I hated you so much. But now I gave it 2 weeks, like you said, and this show is awesome. I just stopped doing that disclaimer years ago. That's what he just brought back. That's why that guy just said, I'm going to need 2 weeks of that guy. Run this nerd. Hey, Rome, Greg in Medford goes back so far that he started that phone call in 99. Is the buzzer broken? Brett and Bugaha. Truth is, sometimes I just want to lay out. And if you were watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw me physically lay out. I just want to give these guys a little room. Just give them a little room and see where it goes. I want to see how somebody like that, where he goes, where he starts, and where he ends up, and then how hard he gets hammered on social. Rome, love this guy's style. Give him a golden ticket. Thanks, DA. I've said it before, I'll say it again. DA is one of the youngest, brightest talent in this industry. And I'm grateful that he called during the Smack Off. My man's got his own brand. He's got his own talk show. He didn't need to do that. That was totally out of respect for me and my place in the industry, I think. I mean, DA can speak for himself. But you are barking up the wrong tree, dog, if you're coming in here to take a run at him. You should have the brand that he has. He did it on his 40th birthday as well. I will always have DA's back. Always. All right, into hour number three. We are open. Just having a good time, man. We can look back. We can look ahead. I can give you my thoughts on the Lakers. I've got a Chris Bosch podcast, which is live right now, that I'd like to get into. All of this is coming up. Hour number three, straight ahead.